We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Son of a son, son of a son, son of a son of a sailor, son of a gun. Load the last time, one step ahead of the jailer. Now weighing the
Jimmy Buffett. Future. First time ever, I believe, is your artist of the day. Don't forget, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the airing of the grievances. Did you see this story? The Bahamas. I'm telling you,
they just can't catch a
break. It's almost like they're cursed. The Bahamas is in line to get hit by a tropical storm. Let me see here. And by the way, 1,000 people are still missing. 1,000 people are still missing in the Bahamas. They're expected to get hit by a tropical storm on Sunday.
More than that, even 1,300.
1,300 still people
missing.
Still missing.
Huh? Yeah.
Story here from the New York Times, so you know it's true. The ACLU said it had reached a settlement with a federal prison in Kansas that had denied buprenorphine.
You know, buprenorphine.
Well, yeah, everybody does that. An opioid addiction medication to an inmate who the group said would, quote, inevitably suffer and possibly die without it. The inmate, Lehman Cruz, is set to receive the medication this week, according to an email. Officials at the Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary had not been providing Mr. Cruz, 45, with buprenorphine that he said he needed to stay sober.
Buprenorphine,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they had been medicating him with codeine, an opioid, to keep him from going through painful withdrawals.
They were giving him codeine?
Mm-hmm. But not buprenorphine. The settlement is not expected to change Federal Bureau of Prisons policy, but instead apply narrowly to Mr. Cruz's case.
Okay, no, but this is where I have a question. This is not going to apply narrowly. How many people are addicted to opioids that are going into the prison system every single day?
I would imagine quite a few. The Prison Bureau, which incarcerates nearly 180,000 people, estimates that close to 40% of its inmates enter the federal prison system with a substance abuse problem, according to a letter from a bipartisan group of 8 senators sent to the GAO.
So if you go into the prison system and you, I don't know, have glaucoma and need glaucoma medication, or you have high blood pressure and you need high blood pressure medication,
they'll provide it for you.
They do still provide that for you, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. If you have cancer, they'll give you radiation and chemotherapy.
Why was this treated differently? Because it's an addiction?
Probably. Suffer through it. You'll get the shakes. You'll be getting 30 days. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Says Dr. Pantalon, who I believe is with the federal government. I'll have to go back in the story and find out. He will have codeine to reinforce his opioid addiction rather than the medications that would treat it. He's obviously not with the federal government. I can understand why there is a lawsuit.
Here's why. Because before he reported to prison, 3-year sentence, by the way, for embezzlement, he had been in recovery for 14 months with the aid of this medicine.
Okay.
I'm going to say that again. 14 months he had been in recovery with the aid of this medication. What they were saying is then to put him in prison and on day one cut him off cold turkey when he was really a success story in fighting the addiction amounted to cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know every time we talk about these stories, people roll their eyes and scream, don't care.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the crime. Let me read you the quote from this lady here. This is Karen Bauckham, director of the Bauckham Institute, a treatment facility in Overland Park. Quote, this is a brain disorder. It is not just an addiction of the body. The brain has been reconfigured by the drug itself. It structurally changes the brain's response.
I agree. And further down in the story, they go on to say that providing him with the codeine makes the opioid addiction worse, which I imagine is true.
Says Dr. Bauckham, if someone in recovery does not have
the drug, just call it the drug,
or methadone available, they can get, quote, so sick that they have to use the narcotic to recover from the system. Most people addicted to opioids get to a point where they are only using opioids to keep from getting sick.
Buprenorphine.
Thank you.
Buprenorphine. I mean, thank God we don't know how to pronounce it, honestly.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Opioid abusers have less than a 30% chance to stay sober without proper medication.
So do you give it to them?
Yes. I think you treat it like anything else. And if we're treating everything else, you treat that.
576-7798. I can already hear it now. Screw him. Can't do the time, don't do the crime. But we would treat everybody else, wouldn't we? If you had high blood pressure. Addiction, many people would argue, is a disease. Sad, but true. Does he not deserve? And he's been sober, what did you say, Dana, 4 months?
14 months,
mm-hmm. Okay. Does he not deserve, even though he's a prisoner, at least a fighting chance?
I'll look this up because I'm curious.
To maintain his sobriety?
Never heard about this medication at all. But he had been sober 14 months with this medication. If you are an addict, how long do you have to stay on that medication to maintain your... 14 months seems to me to be a long time.
Seems like a long time to me,
and
too.
He was still taking that drug. Is that a lifelong thing that every day you wake up and you take it like your calcium supplement?
That's a great question.
Again, thank God we don't know.
Never taken an opioid in my life, and I hope I never do. 576-7798. We got a full board. We'll get to everybody here in just a moment. 576-7798.
Our wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will do jam or no jam at 4:30 this afternoon. 4:30 this afternoon for Jam or No Jam with Will Sterrett. Ethan in Blue Springs. Ethan, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
No problem. I love the show. I listen to it every day. It gets me through work. I'm a delivery driver.
Oh, awesome.
But I was calling in because you're talking about buprenorphine and whether or not they should give it to the prisoners. I personally take buprenorphine. And it's actually like, I mean, really it's Suboxone, but that's like, buprenorphine is like the medical term for it. But anyways, I used to have an addiction, and it completely helped me get off. I turned my life around completely because I think a lot of it's due to this drug. And, I mean, the best thing about it is, I mean, if you don't have an addiction and you take it, then it will get you high. But that being said, if you have an addiction and you go straight to this, you don't have any of the withdrawals, you don't crave it, and it's a blocker, it's an opioid blocker. So if I had a weak moment and I wanted to go back to opiates, I couldn't actually even get high from taking them.
How long have you been on it, Ethan?
I've been on it for about a year, maybe a little bit longer.
And how long do you have to be on it?
It depends on... I mean, how fast you want to get off and how strong, I guess, you are and your psychiatrist. I'm going to guess on the average anywhere between 6 months and 2 years.
Okay.
But, I'm starting to wean off of it right now. And I do know that when I wake up in the mornings and I'm on my way to work, if I don't take it right when I get to work, I feel like crap. I mean, it is it is addictive. So it's one of the things you have to wean off. And I mean, it's the thing is it's good for getting off of the opiates. But then again, it is another opiate. You just get addicted to this.
Yeah. I read, Ethan, it's highly addictive. And then I also read there was some new proposal or law within the last, you know, let's say year or two, where they've made this widely available where you can just take it at home. You don't have to go to a clinic. You don't have to go to like a methadone clinic. Your doctor can just prescribe this to you and you take it to get through your day.
Exactly.
But does it make you high, Ethan?
No, if you're actually an addict and you switch to this, that's why I like it. See, methadone actually gets you high, and they up the dose slowly, and it's almost like another opiate, but it's just considered better for you, I guess. This is just a blocker. So, I mean, I don't get high at all, but then again, if I don't have it, I feel like crap. So maybe it's just psychological or something, but I mean, it wakes me up in the morning, which is exactly the opposite of what you think an opiate would do. Is, you know, you think opiates, you think they make you go to sleep or whatnot, but this wakes me up in the morning and gets me through my day. I mean, I have to have it.
And do you think you'll ever get to the point where you won't have to have it?
Oh, yeah. I'm already starting to wean off of it. I mean, I've got a daughter and a family and stuff that I'm trying to get accomplished, and I don't want to be on this stuff for the rest of my life. I don't like depending on something.
Good for you. Ethan, keep going. Good for you.
Oh, amen. Dan in Overland Park. Dan, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple things coming from the medical side of it. I've been on Suboxone. I was on it for 3 years before I tapered off. And it's one of those drugs where buprenorphine is actually mixed with naloxone, which is Narcan. It prevents opiates from working in your body. And the reason people go on Suboxone is, when you're on Suboxone, if you take any other opiate, it will do nothing to you. So that's the benefit compared to methadone. And so when people compare it to an opiate, yeah, like Ethan said, it's a blocker. So you do get a sense of relief. But if you weren't an opiate user and you took it, you would probably get really sick because it is a very powerful drug.
Yeah.
But it's unlike methadone, it can't be abused because the second you try and crush it up or do anything with it, that Narcan kicks in, and then you just have to go through withdrawal again.
But you become addicted to this drug, is that correct? Even though it doesn't really do anything for you.
Yeah, you sound exactly like my girlfriend. That's exactly true, but I suppose the dependence, instead of a drug dealer, it becomes a doctor and a pharmacist. However, with your doctor, the supposed time limit is 2 months to however long. They should be tapering you off. Yeah. Unlike a drug dealer, they're not going to taper you off.
Yeah.
Now, if the doctor knows what he's doing, he's going to start you out at a couple doses with 8-milligram tablets or the sublingual film, and he's going to taper you off every 3 to 6 months, kind of cut that dose in half, to a point where once you get to a fourth of a sublingual film, like Ethan said, you do get that relief. When you wake up, if you don't have it, there is something missing because you are dependent on it. However, there is a huge difference from finding an opiate and the high that you get off that and the dependence that comes from that.
How did you get addicted to opioids?
Me personally, I was in college. It was just a mixture of outside of my element, depression, anxiety, and curiosity. At that age, I couldn't see much of a future, and a few years later, it kind of came back. I had never heard anything about Suboxone. I went to a rehab. They started me on it, and my view from the beginning and to this day, even past it, I think it's a wonder drug. I think that what methadone was is that's what Suboxone will be. I think it will replace it, because with methadone, I've seen a lot of friends go on that drug, they can take it, and they can go right back out and use whatever drug they want on top of it. And the amazing thing about Suboxone is you can't take anything.
You can't, because it blocks it.
Yeah, I personally tried it, and it didn't work. So I can tell you that I think with the opiate crisis, I think it's one of the best alternatives we have. If therapy doesn't work for you, it at least stops you enough to where you have that clarity to think, you know, what are you doing? Whereas under the influence of opiates, you really don't have that clarity.
Hmm. Dan, thank you for your honesty.
Yep. Have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy. May God bless him always. Eddie Money died today at the age of 70. Story here from the New York Times. The ACLU has fought and apparently has won for the right for a Kansas inmate who is being held at Leavenworth to use an opioid weaning medication called buprenorphine. And apparently, according to the people who have called in who have taken it, it is addictive, but it also works as a blocker for opioids. So you could take an opioid when you're on buprenorphine, and it's just not going to work. It's like being an alcoholic, and you take some sort of medication, and the alcohol just, for whatever reason, A, you don't want it, you don't need it, and B, if you were to take it, it wouldn't have an effect. It's a blocker. And the ACLU has argued and won that this inmate at Leavenworth should have access to buprenorphine.
Just call it the medication.
Okay. I'm trying to be
formal. A doctor?
No, Dana, I'm not trying to be a doctor. Marcy, hello.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Well, I have a son that went through about 15 surgeries over a four-year period. As you can imagine, was very addicted to OxyContin and was put on Suboxone to treat his addiction. And while Suboxone works, I think the other callers mentioned it, it is highly, highly addictive. In fact, I think the statistics show it binds two or three times tighter to your receptors than the actual opioid. So getting off of Suboxone is a whole nother ballgame. I know people that have been on it for years and will be on it forever because getting off of it is as bad as getting off an opioid. There is alternatives to it. They're just not legal in the U.S. There's clinics outside the U.S. that offer one treatment is called Ibogaine. And I personally feel, my son did do that. He went to Mexico and took some Ibogaine treatment to get off the Suboxone, and it was successful. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's pretty expensive to go find a clinic that will do it. They have them in Mexico, Bahamas, I think Canada, the UK, everywhere but the U.S. has them, or a lot of places. And my personal opinion is that they're not offered here because Suboxone is a massive moneymaker. That's my opinion.
Gotcha.
Is your son still on? Hang on just a second there, Marcy. Is your son still on Suboxone?
No.
He's off. This worked.
He's off. It did work.
Hmm.
It's considered like a class 3 hallucinogenic, which they say is where it's not legal in the U.S. It was a pretty intense experience. But it kind of erases your brain, so they say, and it's the only thing that he could try to get off Suboxone.
Hmm.
Because wow. Getting off Suboxone is almost harder than getting off an opioid.
But the Suboxone, let me just make sure, because up until today I'd never heard of this drug. Suboxone is a neutralizer, for lack of a better term. You take it and you could take all the opioids you want, even though you don't want to now, and they would have no effect. Is that correct?
It's a synthetic opioid. So it fills your receptors where the opioid used to fill your receptors. The Suboxone fills it. It's a synthetic version.
But you don't get high. Yeah,
you don't get high if you have an addiction to it. You just it fills those receptors so you don't have the craving.
Got it. Here's what I don't understand. In 2008... the Standards for Health Services, Health on Medication Services, contained a new compliance indicator. This is in 08. Inmates entering a facility on prescription meds continue to receive the meds in a timely fashion as prescribed or an acceptable alternate medication, read that generic, are provided as clinically indicated. So in 08, somebody at the federal level decided inmates coming in, whatever medicine they're on, they should continue to be on. I'm curious why in this case they wouldn't give it to him. Is it because it is or was deemed by someone to be not necessary? Because if he came in on it, not just on it, but on it for 14 months, why is there even a lawsuit if the standard is you automatically continue them on their regimen of medication?
Because he is an addict. Therein lies the argument that some people would make. If you come in, Dana, to the federal prison system and you're an alcoholic, are they going to give you alcohol? That's the way they look at it.
And here's the line. A physician, dentist, or other legally authorized individual may determine that a prescribed treatment is no longer clinically indicated or that there's an alternative, codeine, to the patient who is incarcerated. That's my guess is that's what happened. Somebody at the federal prison said, you don't need this. Take some codeine and be done with it like the rest of them do. And that's where the ACLU came in.
Let's go to Lindsay in Raytown. Lindsay, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. I guess I have a few things. I mean, you guys are usually crunched for time, but I'll start with my husband had an addiction to Lortab, any opioids, for 4 to 5 years. Started with a prescription and went from there. He got abusive. Me and my daughter, we left him for 7 years. Told him to get his act cleaned up, you know. So he's been out of rehab probably about 3 times. Nothing worked. He got on to this Suboxone treatment program. And long story short, we got back together. He turned his life around 100%. This has been about 10 years ago by now. He's been clean. And it's just been a wonder drug for him. He's not still on it. He's able to maintain a high-profile job. Takes care of his family, supports us, and is an awesome dad, you know. And I think the biggest problem, whether, you know, people are going to disagree with the Suboxone program or, you know, agree, whatever, the problem is we need to start decriminalizing addiction.
You know? Is he still on Suboxone?
No. No, he was on it for about 5 years.
But he was weaned off, is that right?
Yep, he was weaned off. Yeah, I don't remember the specifics on, like, how much, you know, they weaned him down to, but it took him about, when he was ready, I'll say when he was ready to start being weaned off was about 3 years into it.
Wow.
And so it took him about 2 years to wean down off of it. And, you know, he felt guilty because he's like, you know, I'm replacing... you know, a drug with another drug. And even his doctor said no. And he said, listen, I get where you're coming from with that, but you're not out there spending your entire paycheck on something you got high off of. You know, you are a member of a society again. You're getting up. You're going to work. You know, even his emotions were back. You know how it is. Anybody that has an addiction, I mean, he had no emotion. He was just a zombie, you know, and So
do you feel like you got your husband back?
Oh my God. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when I say I left him, I left him. And I know that's brutal. A lot of listeners out there may call me cold-hearted, but I wasn't going to have my daughter around it. So we literally split up for 7 years.
Wow.
I wouldn't let him have any contact with our daughter. I didn't even collect child support. None of that. And he called me out of the blue and said I got clean, and I checked up on him, and, you know, just to make sure he's being honest, met with him a few times. I could tell he's definitely been clean, and he backed up his story. So, you know, so yeah, she got her dad back. I got my husband back. And, I mean, he's done a wonderful thing, you know, things with his life since then.
Good for you.
So yeah, I just think we need to, you know, stop criminalizing addicts. I was very judgmental. I was extremely judgmental towards anybody that had an addiction. I thought, how weak can you be, you know, to throw everything away over a pill or whatever it is. And when I went through it with him, you know, I really saw firsthand on what he went through, you know, and I just think we need to just get back to decriminalizing it and having better resources.
Lindsay, thank you for the call and for your honesty.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
Be good, kiddo. Dave in Tonganoxie, 576-7798. Dave, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
You're doing well, man.
Yeah, so I've been on all those drugs before and went to jail on while I was addicted to them, too.
Okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, I've been on all them drugs on and off, methadone, Suboxone, even buprenorphine by itself.
And?
And I went to jail and had to detox all that stuff in Leavenworth County Jail.
Oh.
And wait. When you went to Leavenworth, did they provide you with buprenoxine or norphrine or whatever it's called?
No, they gave me absolutely nothing. I told them that I thought I was going to die from it. But they gave me water. So they told me, drink a lot of water.
How'd that go?
It was pretty bad for about 3 months, but I got over it.
Were you like Jamie Foxx in that movie about what's his? Oh my God,
Ray Charles. Ray shaking.
Charles. Were you like laying in bed just shaking and sweating?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't sleep very well, and I mean, I was pretty sick, but it's not going to kill you. And I've detoxed out stuff like that by myself too, not just in jail. I mean, it's not. You're not going to die from it.
And Dave, are you clean now?
Yeah, on and off. I mean, I'll go for a few months and stay clean for a few months. And then, you know, so I'm not 100% clean. But I don't do it like that. I don't do any of them drugs.
Okay.
What do you mean you don't do any of them drugs?
Well, I don't do those specific drugs. I don't do methadone or buprenorphine.
If I do
any drugs, I'll do some pain pills from time to time. But nothing like I was doing. I mean, I think when I went to jail, I was on like 95 or 100 milligrams of methadone every day.
Oh, wow.
And also Xanax. I was addicted to Xanax pretty bad, too. And that is serious. That can really almost kill you.
Huh. Why do you keep going back?
Oh, because I like doing drugs. I mean, it's something I do for fun from time to time. You know? I don't know. It's not something you can't quit. I don't care what anybody says. You can stop doing it. It's not the end of the world. It's just, you know, it's something that's fun. It's like drinking. Some people like to drink. I like opiates, you know. Everybody who does opiates likes it. It's enjoyable.
Oh, man, Dave.
I'm sorry, it is.
Okay, hey, thank you for the call, and we do wish you the best. I don't know that I want to shout that from the rooftops to everyone listening. I wish him the best, but calls like that concern me.
And they should. 576-7798.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have failed.
Leave Will Stir, this is you The Winners.
You are correct, yeah.
It was a number one hit. 1972, stayed on the charts for 14 weeks. How do I know that, Dana Wright?
Because my mom bought you a book that you keep reading.
It's also one of only 9 hits to go to number one by 2 different artists.
That's correct. Club Nouveau was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
1986. That is the greatest book anybody has ever bought me. I cannot stop looking at it.
It's addictive, isn't it?
It is, man.
Oh, it is.
It is. All right, let's get these guys in here. Mr. Sterrett, you've got Jam or No Jam coming up at 4:30 this afternoon, my friend.
All right.
I will do a teaser at 4 o'clock, though. Lisa in Overland Park. Lisa, hello.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. Well, I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
Well, first of all, I love you guys both, but sometimes I tend to side with Dana a little bit more, so I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That means you're smart.
There you go. So I listen to you guys every single day, and if I don't get on by 2, I always catch some podcasts. A couple of years ago, you guys had a similar conversation about opiates and the epidemic, and you actually encouraged me because I was struggling, and I had sent you guys a message, and you responded and said, "You can do this, kiddo," and it was very encouraging. But anyway, what you guys are talking about today, I keep hearing people say, "It's you're not going to die from it. Hey, it was awful. You're not going to die from it." And my issue was that when you are prescribed the medication, you are under the care of a physician. You trust that physician. And when you're overprescribed and you're taking it for a legitimate reason, and your prescriber, at one point I was taking 315 milligrams oxycodone every 3 weeks. Filled the same pharmacy with the same provider, the same, you know, pharmacist. No doctor shopping, nothing like that.
It was legally prescribed is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. And what had happened was I thought, I need to get help, talk to my doctor about it. And he said, well, we'll start weaning you off, but it'll take a long time. It'll take a few years. And I found that, I don't know if he'd forget. And this was, you know, this isn't some doctor in a more questionable part of town. We're talking South Johnson County, very I trusted him, and I just thought, this is still a lot, and I thought, I hear these people doing this cold turkey bit, and I can do this. Thank God I have wonderful parents, and I even told them about it, and they were very supportive, and I was scared because I had an executive position. I worked my way up from bottom to the top. Over 20, 25 years, I was scared that...
Lisa, how long did the process take you, sweetie?
Mm-hmm. From the time I started taking the medication to going down, is that what you mean? Or
how long did it take you to get off of the drugs through whatever mean you did?
About 3 years.
Okay. 3 years, wow.
Have you relapsed?
Yes. The problem is, you know, if you try to call different inpatient, outpatient detox centers, they have a hard time helping people who need to maintain a certain level of medication for pain. Mm. So if you call them and say, this is how much I take, but I want to get down to this, oh, well, we can't help you with that. We need to get you off of it.
Well, Lisa, keep trying. On behalf of both of us, keep trying.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.